A little bit louder now.
Shout.
A little bit louder now.
Shout. He ain't the leaving kind.
Do you know? Hot route. Red 7.
Look for me in the end zone after this play. I'll be the guy holding the ball.
Red 7.
I don't know what red 7 means.
Hot route.
I don't. What is hot route?
Can you just go stand on the other side, please?
And I asked God for a shooting star to show me that I was going to make it. And he gave it to me. Immediately.
Let's go!
Talking with the Sports Boys. Today's guest, Mike Hillier, assistant wide receivers coach for the Miami Dolphins.
First off, you know, Ike, I wanted to welcome you. You know, you and I have gotten to talk a few times, and I got the opportunity to meet you down in Florida. And, you know, the hospitality is really nice, very humble. You'd think that a player that played in the NFL for such a long time would have a little bit of cockiness, but you don't.
Well, specifically for me, I think at an early age, I learned from my grandfather the humbleness factor. He always told me, regardless of whatever you may do and not do in life, always make the spectacular look routine. That's kind of something that stuck with me for, you know, my short lifespan, and I will continue to carry it as I go forward. And I think it's important for everybody to be appreciative of any and everything. You know, be thankful and be humble for whatever you have the opportunity to be a part of and do.
People always say that there's a fine line between cockiness and confidence. And, you know, I've never wanted to cross that line. And you talked about your grandfather, and my grandfathers were two phenomenal men. You know, they passed away about 19 years ago each, but they really instill values in you of having confidence in yourself, appreciating what you have. And a lot of how I was brought up was that I don't own any of this. It belongs to God. He gave it to me. And my question that I wanted to ask you as we're getting started here is, how much does God play a role in your life on and off the field?
Well, I think, you know, we all have to believe in something. And you know, it's funny that the world is a very critical world in its own right. And, you know, I think you have to kind of toe a fine line, you know, with some areas of religion. But, you know, me personally, I know that I've been, you know, a dreamer all of my life. And in order to be a dreamer, you have to believe, you know, that there is a higher power out there that will one day grant all your wishes that you've had since birth, pretty much. But I do have a very strong faith base in one of those back road Baptist churches down in Patterson, Louisiana, you know, given to me through my mother. And it's something that obviously has helped and shape me as a human, and will forever be a part of who I am. And not afraid to obviously state that, you know, in any situation. So I think for whatever it's worth, you know, faith is important in terms of, you know, how you approach life on a daily basis. And it's something that should be a part of every human being in some, you know, way, shape, or form.
I definitely agree with that. You know, if I didn't have the faith in God that I have, you know I wouldn't be standing here today, honestly. And a lot of times could have given up, and I didn't. And you didn't either. And you spent this past season as a member of the Florida Tuskers. And tell everyone about that experience that you had being their wide receivers coach.
Well, the last 2 years have been great for me. I think I was obviously blessed in the sense to where I was fortunate enough to be an NFL player for 12 years. I wanted to, you know, kind of go to, quote-unquote, the other side, as they call it, and experience whether or not coaching would be for me. And just through, you know, my travels, I've been fortunate enough to run into, you know, Jay Gruden, who is now obviously the OC of the Cincinnati Bengals. And Jay, through Coach Haslam, my first year, gave me an opportunity to work in voluntary coaching. You know, I was very appreciative of that, and it's, you know, it's not common where a former player or a current player will transition into coaching. So graciously given an opportunity through Jay to jump into coaching, transition quickly, and do it at a very high level on the pro level with the UFL. And last year, having an opportunity to be the full time wide receiver coach, I definitely enjoyed that. I love all the guys I've been able to work with. We all still keep in touch. We'll always keep in touch. I think last 2 years have been critical in helping shape me, as a person, as a coach. Having an opportunity to lead a group of guys in my own right, in my own room, and be responsible for how they were able to play ball on a weekly basis. And it's a great experience for me, and I'm hoping to take that experience, even though it's short lived, doing it only 2 years, to hopefully lean on that experience to help me with the job that I have now with the Miami Dolphins.
Okay, and I want to get to that job that you now have with the Miami Dolphins in just a few minutes here. But you had touched on playing in the NFL for the 12 seasons that you did. Now, before coaching, you spent most of your time in your career as a New York Giant. And you and I have talked about this a little bit before, but for the people who haven't heard it, and some of the people who have, what has it meant to you to be a New York Giant?
Well, I mean, it's home for me. Trying to make a long story short, I mean, being a dreamer again, touching on that, I've always, I had a thought or feeling or desire to play football, and having to do that with the Giants, with the class organization that it is, it's nothing more than obviously a blessing for me again. A lot of great people in that organization that I've been fortunate enough to continue to have relationships with a lot of people up there, and hopefully at some point I'll be able to go there and work in some capacity. I think it's an unbelievable place to play football, to win football games, just to be involved with the whole Giant organization in general. And I definitely enjoyed my 8 years there. I left on my own will. Probably should have stayed, but that's another story. But I definitely enjoyed my 8 years there. Very fortunate enough to be drafted there in 97. And to be a part of probably the flagship or one of the flagship organizations of the NFL.
Having that experience, being a New York Giant, and like you said, spending your time there, getting drafted there, and like I said, that you and I talked a few months ago about it, and how much you care about the Giants organization and how connected you've always felt with them. What's your relationship with the team now?
Well, like I said, I still, have a lot of contacts up there. We don't talk, obviously, as often as we used to, being a player. But they allowed me to retire the Giant even after leaving, after an eight-year stay there. So the door is always open for me. I assume, by that gesture of the will to retire as a Giant and sign that one-day contract, that I will always have some sort of open relationship. And as the late great Wellington Mara said, once a Giant, always a Giant. And they definitely stand by that statement. There are, again, a ton of real quality people there. And they believe in stand by doing things the right way.
Keeping with the Giants, 2014, first ever open stadium outdoor Super Bowl in the Giants and Jets new Meadowlands Stadium. You know what it was like to play up there. I know what it's like right now. We were talking about before we started up here, living in New York. I know what it's like around this time of year. What do you think this Super Bowl is going to have in store for people?
Well, I think, if you're a real true fan of the game, you have to understand, that late in the year, in terms of the season, or that early in the calendar year, being February, when the Super Bowl is to be played, depending on where you play it, elements are going to be a factor. And football is one of the few sports that's unique where they're going to play rain, snow, sleet, hail. Well, probably not hail, but they're going to play pretty much in any and every condition possible without putting the players in any danger, in terms of lightning or hail. It is a unique situation, like I said before. I think with the Super Bowl being played there, a lot of factors will play into it. You have to think about, first and foremost, the teams that are going to be fortunate enough to go, whether they're, a team built to play in those possibly affect the way they have to play their game. But it's definitely going to be an interesting ordeal, and looking forward to it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if it's a Patriots team that goes there, then obviously, high advantage there. But where you are now in Miami, if the Dolphins were to go there, you and I were just talking about weather and how 50 degrees, 60 degrees is considered cold. Do you think a team like Miami might have a little bit of trouble in the snow up there?
Well, I'm going to say no, because I'm employed by the Dolphins. I'm going to say that we'll be absolutely fine. One of the few advantages they have is, playing in the division that they do. They play the Jets in New England, and at some point in time, they're probably going to play those teams in that type of element. So hopefully we'll be fortunate enough to make it, barring the fact that we play well. And I'm going to say it will be absolutely fine.
So that is Ike telling you that the elements for the teams down in Florida not going to affect them if you're employed by them, correct?
I'm just saying Miami. I'm not saying the teams in Florida. I'm just saying Miami.
No Jacksonville love, none of that there. Just the Miami Dolphins. No Tampa love either. Okay. But looking at the present now, speaking of the team that you just promoted, tell everyone what you're now doing for the Dolphins.
Well, after my 2 year stay in Orlando with the Tuskers, I had an opportunity to interview for the Dolphins, and they signed me on as their assistant wide receiver coach. So I will be heavily involved in everyday operations there, and looking forward to this experience in the big leagues.
Now, how did this opportunity come about? Who approached you? How did this happen, or did you approach them?
I didn't approach anybody, which makes this even more of a blessing. Long story short, I'm basically getting my kids ready to go to church on a Sunday morning. And Coach Moreno called by my wife, and I had just finished actually getting dressed, going downstairs. He called at 10 minutes to 10 o'clock and told me in a roundabout way I was a hard man to find. He had been searching for my number for a couple of days. Ended up getting my number from Jason Garrett, the head coach of the Cowboys. And Jason is obviously a former teammate of mine. We talked for maybe, 20 minutes or so. He asked if I would be able to come up for an interview that day. I interviewed at around 3 o'clock, 3:30. Stayed for a few hours after they ran me, through the gamut of the things they wanted to run by me and quiz and test me on. And I was not offered a job that day. However, I got a phone call the next day, and Coach Sperano told me that, he wanted to consider me for his staff. And funny enough, after he called and said that, Jason Garrett called and offered me a spot in the same capacity with the Cowboys.
Wow.
Boy, and I take an interview out there at the Senior Bowl. But I opted to stay here in Florida, and it's worked out well so far. And it's an unbelievable opportunity for me and my family. We get to stay home where we make home now. My wife is pregnant with our third child, so I couldn't write a better script.
Well, it's always a great opportunity when you said, your dreams come true, you have blessings that come to you, and when everything seems to fit into place. And when you're going through turmoil, going through trouble, I know this too. People come up to you that care about you and say, hey, everything's going to find its place in your life, and you don't want to believe it, but your wife's having a baby, your family's already down in Miami, you were traveling back and forth from Miami to Orlando, and now you get to be at home, do what you love, be a part of the NFL, and be there with the people that you love.
Well, the big guy is definitely good, man. We were all set on getting ready to go to Virginia based on what happened with Jay and the interviews he had, and he has continued to bless us, and we're going to be here. So I am definitely thrilled. I don't mind a 56-minute commute back and forth to work, because it's work. And I'm absolutely enjoying myself up until this point.
Well, that's phenomenal to hear. They say, that's what you have to do. You have to do something that you love. And
absolutely.
Talking about the Tuskers, like you said, going up to Virginia, they were supposed to go up there, become the Destroyers, and be led by Jay Gruden. What happened with the Tuskers? I talked to Joe, And, you know, we talked about why they ended up moving and what went on there. But with you and Jay and everything was kind of set, ready to go, what changed everything?
Well, you know, it's a great question. And it's, you know, it's one that I won't have many answers to. I apologize about that. Things have happened so unbelievably fast over the last couple of months. Coach Gruden and I have not had an opportunity to talk. We've talked basically through text messages and very few phone calls based on him being out at the Senior Bowl and interviewing and doing some other stuff. And he ended up getting this job. And, you know, we haven't had an opportunity for us to get on the phone for a long period of time where I can actually ask him, you know, say what happened, you know, what's going to happen now. I think now, I'm sure the commissioner and everybody there, they're, you know, doing their due diligence to, you know, to get everything in order and go forth with their third season.
They're going forward with their third season. You're going forward with your first with the Miami Dolphins. What do you want to accomplish with your new opportunity as the assistant wide receivers coach?
I just want to learn as much as I can. That's why I'm here. There are a ton of great coaches on our staff, and I'm just looking forward to being a shadow if I can. Soak up all the information that they're willing to give in order for me to be the best pro coach, best coach in general, best person that I can be for our wide receiver room, our offense, and our team.
How much do you know about the wide receivers that are in Miami? I mean, I had the opportunity, the blessing from the Dolphins to come down to their training camp this past season, and I was able to talk with Roberto Wallace and Devon Bess, and to actually Greg Camarillo before he was traded to the Minnesota Vikings. But how much do you know going in there as a coach about the wide receivers?
Well, I've never really followed the Dolphins before that opportunity to be employed here. But, you know, since I got here, we've been in the process of processing, you know, a new offense. You know, whenever we do have time, we watch tape. Doing my best to do my homework. I know I have a pretty good feel for, you know, maybe four of the guys in the room right now. I have not gotten around to some of the other film yet. Based on the coaching staff again, or offensive staff, trying to learn this new offense and also getting ready for the combine with combine prep and looking at other film on unrestricted free agents and restricted free agents, so on and so forth. But at some point in between the combine and the draft, we hope, or I hope, to catch up on the rest of the film with the rest of the guys that are in the room, so I can obviously have a great feel for what each guy can and cannot do going forward. Had an opportunity to visit with Hartline and Bess. They're the only two guys that have been to the facility up until this point. Roberto's been there a couple times also. I have not gotten a chance to meet him, though, based on some other responsibilities I've had to take care of. But I think we have a group that we can win with, and hopefully we can just all grasp, you know, this offensive style we're going to try and play now. And put some more points on the board here down in Miami.
Well, definitely. You know, that's what you're going for, is to know these guys, know your offense, get out there, be strong. This is a Miami team that went from 1-15 to 11-5, ran the Wildcat to perfection, and, you know, struggled a little bit since then. But with the offense, without giving too much away, because I know when it comes to schemes, you want to keep it to yourself, can you comment if the Wildcat's going to be a part of the offense at all?
Well, I know the answer to that, but I think I'm supposed to be pretty tight-lipped on what we're going to do going forward, so I'm going to plead the fifth on that. Just know that we plan to bring an offense this year, you know, with the Dolphins, that hopefully the fans can be really excited about. I think we're going to try and do more attacking people than this offense did in the last couple of years. No disrespect to the offense coordinator and coaching staff that was intact there previous years, but we're going to be an attacking outfit, and we're going to build this team that way, and hopefully the fans will get behind it and be happy with the product.
All right, and I'm going to look forward to the off-the-record talk that you and I get to have after this, so I find out.
I am looking forward to it also.
All right, so let's move with the on the record. The NFL collective bargaining agreement. I know you're just jumping back into the NFL here, but what role, if any, did the collective bargaining agreement issue play in your decision to take the job with the Dolphins?
I had none. I think when it comes to my situation, I wanted to have an opportunity to have a pro job. I was fortunate enough, after being a voluntary coach the previous year, getting two interviews with the Redskins and with the Bucks, did not get either job, disappointed about that, and was just hungry for an opportunity to get to the NFL, even after passing up the Duke University job last year. So when Coach Brando called, again, it was a blessing. He offered me the job. You know, I don't really care about, I mean, I care, but it didn't matter, I should say it that way at the time, whether or not there was going to be a CBA. At some point, I think we're going to play football. And the most important thing for me was to, you know, to start working as soon as I can. I have an opportunity to be in the show. And, you know, that stuff that we cannot control, we have to, you know, believe and have faith that it will be taken care of properly and in time. And we're just going to do the best that we can to prepare for every scenario and just make sure that when we start playing that we're ready to teach them as what needs to be taught, get them up to speed quickly so we can put a good product on the field.
Definitely. And keeping with the collective bargaining agreement and saying, you know, you have to have faith and some of it is out of the control, some of it's in the control, you know, it depends on where you stand, you know, if you're in the room or outside of the room. But what do you know of the situation now with the collective bargaining agreement?
Well, I know that they're far apart from where it needs to be. And, you know, I don't think the owners are going to move. And right now, I don't think the union is going to move either. And they've been doing this for quite some time now. And I think that we all, as fans, players, coaches, you know, all parties involved, just hope that these two sides can find a way to come to an agreement so we can play football so nobody loses, you know, a ton of money or any benefits or anything like that. We just want to play some football, and hopefully we'll get that done.
Talking about benefits and making sure everybody's getting paid, if they don't have a season this season, what happens with paychecks for coaches like yourself, benefits for yourself? Do those still come through? Do you still get paid? Are there benefits for you and your family? What happens?
Well, we've been given scenarios per se, but again, unfortunately, and I apologize, I'm told to please the step on this, but also well, we get all of this figured out. But what I do know, or what I can say, is that every organization is handling the situation differently. You know, there's no standard in terms of, you know, league-wide, okay, all coaches are going to get this, and this is going to be taken away. I think it's at the discretion of the management and the owners what they choose to do or not do when it comes to players, coaches, or whoever is involved in an organization.
So basically what you're saying is if the benefits don't come through, paycheck doesn't come through, you'll be open to come work for me this year.
Well, from what I understand, we will have work to do. What kind of work, how we're going to get it done, that's another issue. I think we're going to find ways to hopefully, you know, get stuff done, obviously, you know, within the realm of what the rules are come March 4th. And if we can't do anything based on what the rules are, then we can't do anything. But, again, everybody's doing it differently, and it's at the discretion of the owner, and that's about as much information as I can give. Sorry.
No, that's perfectly fine. You know, the owners have chosen to stay quiet, and, you know, the union has chosen to take to the streets and be a little more open, but it's always good to get a perspective of somebody who's looking at it from the league staff approach. It's not always easy to get the league to tell you, so I do appreciate not only that you shared something, but that you let me down gently that you're not coming to work for me.
Well, I think I'm going to have enough to do on this end. I'm always a phone call away. I think you know that.
Yep.
So there's no, I I guess there's no fine print or anything. I'm not trying to let you down gently, as you said. this relationship never turns. I just don't know that I'll be able to do that because I think and I believe that we're going to have a CBA. Guys, get it done already. I mean, like yesterday, so we can play some football. And if we don't have a CBA by the 4th, then I'm sure you'll be the first person I call. How about that?
Then that's great. You know what? If there is not one on the 4th, I want at least a text message at midnight.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
Now, you being in the league for 12 years, you know, you've had to have some experience with the league union negotiations before. Now, from what you knew as a player, how was it set up for you? Were there, you know, the union comes and says, okay, we're going to have this many reps, and the league's going to have this many reps. How did it set up when you were a player trying to figure out what was going on?
I think when you're a player, when you're a young player, I think the league delegates representatives that are players, you know, on the team, and if you need any information about what's going on, we obviously went through our team guys, our reps, who would give us updates or fill us in on what's going on if you didn't do your own research. You know, those meetings are serious, and I don't know, you know, what types of conversations you've had with other players, and that's not disrespect to you or anybody else or whoever you talk to, but I know that in my experience with the Giants and in Tampa Bay, those meetings were kept in-house. I think when you give information, you can get a lot of backlash from that one, and then, you know, the way you play chess changes, you know? And I'm just going to walk a fine line and say that the information was given from the unions in order to give us an idea of where they stood. They believed in, you know, staying strong and staying united, and I think they're doing that now in a way that former players can hopefully be proud of, current players can hopefully be proud of, in terms of trying to get the most for guys that are playing this game right now, past, and future. At the end of the day, it's just tough. Whenever you come to this type of situation, you know, trying to find an inner lining, per se, or a pot of gold in a rainbow. You're trying to figure out how to do this and do it right by everybody. And it's going to be interesting to see if they can both get it done, both union and league.
Yeah,
and I kind of went around the corner and down the street. I'm trying not to test this topic too much. I know how I feel about it. I'd rather not give my opinion. I think these guys are going to work tirelessly on trying to get a deal done because that's what needs to be done. Hopefully the union stands strong. I know the owners are going to stand strong, but, you know, at some point they just both, you know, need to find a way to find a happy medium and get something done so we can play some football.
No, and I definitely agree, and I understand, you know, where you're coming from because, you know, you talked about family before with your grandfather, and my dad's opinion to me is huge, and I've realized that recently that, you know, I can't stand fighting with him. I like to, you know, get the opinions out and see what he thinks. I always run stuff by him, and I was talking about how Commissioner Roger Goodell had made a statement, didn't really answer the question on how close they were. And then the NFLPA Executive Director, Demora Smith, didn't really answer the question about how close they were. And I was upset at first. And then I talked to my father last night, and I was like, you know what? These guys are playing, like you said, a chess game. And in any contract negotiation, the more you tell the public, the more tainted, like they used to tell you before. If you want people to know your business, choose the people you tell, because the more people you tell, the more people can get in the middle of it, and things can change.
No question.
You know, so what I kind of figured out was, you know, instead of being upset that both sides aren't saying what's going on, I more or less respect the fact that both sides aren't saying anything, because they're trying to keep it in-house, they're trying to talk to each other. And to address what you said about the players before, anybody that I've spoken to, I talked to one player in the Canadian Football League that played in the NFL before, and who had a possible lockout last year in the CFL, and I talked to Joe Theismann, a former player. So the two people that I talked to, very respectful, didn't give anything away about being inside of those meetings or divulge any information. So I think that what you're doing here with me right now is, you know, honorable, respectable, and at the same time, you are giving, you know, as much information as you can, because I know that towing the line is something that we all kind of have to do right now. So I definitely am right there standing next to you saying, I want an NFL season. However you got to get it done, get it done. And I don't think that anyone in the media has the right or deserves to know what's going on. I think that's something that should be left to the union and the league.
Well, hopefully I can get that done. Whether or not I know anything, I don't think is important. And granted, I don't know the intricate details of what's happening. But what I do know is that we have two sides that have to be on the same page at some point about most things in order for us to get this done. That's for all of us. That's all of us involved. You know, fans, coaches, players, executives, whoever. We've all got to get this right. And those two sides right now, the major players, and we all know, or we assume that they know what they're doing, which I'm going to say here, they do know what they're doing. They're going to do right by everybody involved and get something done, hopefully as quickly as possible.
Yeah, you know, that's what we're hoping. I'm a fan first. A life without football, to me, is no life that I want to have for next season. And I know as soon as the season ends, I'm thinking the draft. And as soon as the draft ends, I'm thinking the next season. So I don't know what I would do with myself if there was no NFL. I think that they might have to put me on some island or something like that, get me on a reality show, just take me away from it.
I'm sure every coach's staff with every organization is working diligently and as if there will be football. So we're just going to wish for the best, and we'll see what happens.
Now, before we get going here, to come off of the topic for the collective bargaining agreement, so now you can open the doors, Ike, and you can talk 100% about anything. Are you ready for that?
Ready.
All right. So let's talk about the combine and how involved you're going to be in the upcoming combine.
Right now, I'm in the process of, you know, just breaking down the guys I've been asked to break down and do film study on so I can write my reports. And it's just amazing how many guys are out there with the talent level to be NFL caliber players. We were continuing to digest the playbook. We're working on, like I said, UFAs and RFAs.
Well, I'm looking forward to having you back on to talk about the combine and the upcoming draft. But before I let you go, I want to ask you a question that I consider to be, it's a question that I like to ask everybody that I speak to, and it's because I feel like it really calls you to be, like you said, the best person you could be, a human being, not, am I an NFL player or an NBA player? Did I make the All-Star team? Did I win a Super Bowl? This is a question about you to this day as a person. So I would like to know from Ike Hilliard who Ike Hilliard truly is.
I know for a fact that I'm a person who's not even scratched the surface of his potential. And I'm looking forward to learning as much as I so I can touch as many lives as I can going forward. And I have an unbelievable springboard right now. With the opportunity through the Dolphins, I can't wait to get that going.
Well, Ike, I definitely appreciate that, and I look forward to speaking to you. I look forward to, as you scratch the surface of that potential, as you get deeper and deeper into who you are, I hope that, you know, you and I will stay friends through this, through collective bargaining agreements and conversations that we can and cannot have and all different types of deals. And I look forward to, you know, having you on my staff one day, that too. And, you know, anything that I can ever do to help, you know that I would never hesitate to. And I truly want to thank you for being the stand-up individual that you are. It has been nothing short of an honor to get to know you and be able to talk to you.
Well, same here, man. Just know, again, not that I have to go on record saying it again, I'm always a phone call away. I look forward to the next time we talk.